As Mary says, this reading is taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, beginning at verse 12. And actually, the reading doesn't make a great deal of sense unless you know a little bit about what's happened beforehand. And this comes in the previous chapter. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. And as a result, a lot of people are beginning to follow Jesus. And so the Jewish authorities are hatching a plot to kill both Jesus and Lazarus. The next day, the great crowds that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written in the book of the prophet Zechariah. "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said one to another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Over several weeks, we as a church have been looking at a theme of making Jesus known. That's been our theme, looking at Jesus, who he really is, and then how we communicate Jesus to others. And today, we're going to be looking at what kind of king is Jesus? What kind, remember that question because I'm going to ask it a few times. What kind of king is Jesus? I've actually added two little words at the end. What kind of king is Jesus to you? Makes it a bit more personal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for this sense of celebration today. I pray that by your Holy Spirit, through your Son, Jesus Christ, you would speak to each of our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Where were you on the 6th of May, 2023, at 11 a.m.?
I think I was camping in the Forest of Dean.
Mary was camping in the Forest of Dean. Where was anybody else? The date. You didn't hear the date. Oh, sorry. The 6th of May, 2023, at 11 a.m.
I think I was here.
You think you were here. You think you were here. Why were you here? Coronation. Oh, well done. Coronation. It's not that long ago, is it? It's only last year. Mary was camping, but actually the truth is Mary was here. I know she was here because I actually went to the doctors Friday for an annual checkup, and one of the questions that the nurse asked me, she said, "What's your short-term memory like?" Yours isn't very good, Mary. The 6th of May, 2023, at 11 a.m. was a really, really special day. A sense of celebration. A new king. The first coronation in 70 years. A gold carriage. A stagecoach with six horses pulling it, weighing 3 tons. Air-conditioned. Hydraulic suspension, tens of thousands of people lining the route. Prince Charles was on a journey He was on a journey to be crowned King Charles III. Was anyone present in London? Are you aligning the routes?
It was crazy. It was really wonderful to be with everybody there celebrating.
Brilliant. I think that's very good. Actually physically going. We thought about going, but we didn't get there. But just to go and be part of that sense of celebration. 2,200 guests at Westminster Abbey. The pomp, the pageantry. And as part of that service, there's a king's orb, two scepters, one with a dove, the other with a cross. Articles of a new role. In the midst of that ceremony, a moment away from the cameras, he removes his robes and is anointed king. A sense of humility, a sense of anointing, God's grace on King Charles. Contrast that with what happened 2,000 years ago, which we've just had read to us by Bill. Jesus commences on a journey. It's from Bethany to Jerusalem. It's about 7 kilometers. A great crowd of people had gathered in Jerusalem. They'd gathered for a particular feast. It was the feast of the Passover, when God had released his people from slavery from the Egyptians in Egypt. It's estimated by a Jewish historian, Josephus, that at that time there were 2.5 million people were there. I wasn't there, so I can't verify that. But they heard that the crowd heard that Jesus was on his way. And they did something extraordinary, something that was not normal, something that was reserved for conquering kings coming back from battle victorious. They cut down huge palm branches. Sorry, I should have had one today, shouldn't I, really? But huge palm branches, and they laid them in his way. They cut them down and they waved them and they shouted, "Hosanna, pray God save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." An expression of joy, adoration, and triumph. Why? Because many people had seen the miracles that Jesus has performed, especially the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Sorry, whenever I get to this part, I have to. My dad, bless him, he's 91, and he's only got one joke. And it comes at Easter, as we were children, sat watching a film that none of you all know because you're too young. It's called The Robe. Oh, you do? Is it on today? Oh, rush home. What time is it on? But as part of The Robe, we'd always sat there as a family, and Jesus would be at the tomb, and Lazarus was in the tomb, and he'd been dead for 4 days. And Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." And my dad, quick as a flash, always used to say, "Lazarus, come forth." And my dad used to say, "And Lazarus came fifth." It doesn't get any better how many times you say it, but that was his big moment. But the thing was, never mind about whether he came fourth or fifth, he came out of the tomb. Here was somebody being raised from the dead, Lazarus. Jesus had raised him from the dead, and the crowd followed him. Mind you would, wouldn't you? No, none of you would, but you would. Sorry, would you?
Of course you would.
Yeah. They wanted to know more, but other people had heard what he talked about, heard what he said, how his teaching was different to other people. And they gathered to see this conquering king coming. Maybe for some people, this is to do with what kind of king you're expecting. Maybe for some people, they thought Jesus was going to be the king that was going to overthrow the Romans. Because to be perfectly honest, if I was riding into Jerusalem, I know what I would ride on. Mine would be a white stallion. My family will know that I've always wanted to ride a white horse. Why have I always wanted to ride a white horse? Because of the cinema when I was growing up. The Lone Ranger. It's not that funny. The Lone Ranger. And I always wanted to ride a white horse. And imagine, we were out in South Africa, and we were going on a riding safari. And I'd happened to mention this to Jeanette the day before. And they came out with the horses, and what colour horse do you think I got? Black? No! No! I got a white horse! I was thrilled! Sorry, the subplot to that story is I'm the only one of our group who couldn't ride a horse. And I rode the horse, and they kept saying gallop and trot, and I was bouncing up and down. And the following day, I was the only one who didn't have a sore back. It's because I didn't put my feet in the stirrups, so I just bounced up and down. But what an experience! And that's what I would ride into Jerusalem on, and I'd ride with a shield and a charger. But Jesus does none of that, because he's not that sort of king. Jesus comes on a donkey. He comes on a donkey riding to Jerusalem. And his destination isn't a gold crown. His destination is a crown of thorns. Jesus' destination, the humble king, was the cross. That's why Jesus had come. That was his purpose. That was his destiny. Out of love, Jesus comes to live, to die. Why? Because of God's love. God's love for humanity. God's love for humanity that has gone off track. How much do we need God's love today, right now? Right now. How far have we gone off track? How far have we gone away from the things of God? You know what we've done? We've taken God out of the center, and we've put ourselves, human beings, because we know better than God. We're wiser than God. No, we're not. And we need to put God back at the center. The kind of king who comes to die because of love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. What kind of king is Jesus? A king who heals, a king who forgives, a king who serves, a king who shows us the love of God. That's my king. A king who does all those things out of love. We used to sing a worship song many years ago, and it was this: just one touch from the king changes everything. Just one touch from the king changes everything. What it's saying really is, when you've encountered the living, loving Jesus Christ, that changes everything. I don't mean encountering religion. I don't even mean encountering church. As valuable as both those things are, it's encountering Jesus. In a former life, I used to be a vicar. And once people know you're a vicar, they want to talk to you. And what most people want to talk to me about, what? Church buildings. Yeah, life. Because I'm not interested in church buildings. I couldn't care less, to be perfectly honest. We drove past this church so many times, and my wife kept saying to me, we must come in here. And I'd say to my wife, it looks like a crematorium. Sorry, no disrespect, no offence. I presume this is being taped and it's going to be on, yeah, probably. You can edit that bit. But from the outside... Can't rewind it, can you? But that's the truth. That's the honest truth, because that's what it looks like to me. That's what it looked like to me. But it's not about the building. That's what I'm trying to say. It's about the people and the love. It's not about the building. It's about Jesus. It's always ever been about Jesus. It's always ever going to be about Jesus. And we do what we do to serve him and to love him. What kind of king is Jesus to you? For me, I had to give in. I had to give in. Didn't want to, because I knew how to live my life. I knew what I was going to do. But I had to surrender. That's painful for me. And ask him to take charge of my life. Is my life better? Yes. Do I still encounter problems and difficulties? Yes. But I've got someone there to help me and to guide me. And as people who follow Jesus, maybe it's summed up best from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you, me, you? Three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's my king. That's my king. Do you want to stand? I'm just going to wait. For many of us, we've encountered church, we've encountered religion. And I want to encourage us to encounter Jesus. And maybe for some of us, we just simply need to ask, dear God, show me Jesus. Show me who he really is. And for some of us, we haven't got all the answers. We don't need all the answers. It's a step of faith. Today's the day when we need to give our lives to Jesus, when we need to surrender and hand our lives over. And if that's you, just in the quietness of your own heart where you stood, just say to God, I admit that I've done things wrong. I do believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Would you come into my life to help me live a fulfilled life? And if that's you and you've said that prayer in the quietness of your own heart, please, after the service, just tell someone, anybody, that that's what you've done. And people will help and guide you on your journey of faith. Often, I get impressions. Sometimes they mean something, sometimes they don't. And I find it easier if I just speak them out. And if they mean something, well, then that's fine. If they don't, that's fine too. But when I was talking about Lazarus, dead in the tomb, I feel that that's how some of us feel, that inside we're dead. And I want to say to us this morning, Jesus is calling us out and he's calling us home. Jesus calls us out and he calls us home. And Jesus lovingly unwraps those filthy, dirty grave clothes.
I think we're just going to continue. To respond to the call. The call to come out into the light, the call to leave those rags, those kind of stuff that smells of death behind, stuff that seeks to dampen who we are, dampen our flourishing. We're called to leave those behind and come out into life.
Night and day, let incense arise. Day and night, night and day.